Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'" And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" We are blessed to have those precious documents from the late first century, the Gospels. It is there, and in the writings of Saints Paul, James, and John, included in the New Testament, that we have the basics of Christian doctrine, the teaching of the Church about Jesus Christ, about being a disciple of his, and what this will entail. Each of the disciples of Jesus will have his or her mood swings. Yes, there are days when your mood or mine might be described as jolly or brittle or perhaps just moody. There is probably someone you know that comes to mind when I say that. And guess what? You may well now be coming into the thoughts and prayers of someone else listening to this website. We are made of flesh and blood, and it's not only the pressure of our bloodstream that is occasionally out of line with its normal rate. The human being is at times unpredictable. Perhaps we have spoken aloud once or twice when we might have preferred to remain silent, to keep that thought within. Does this apply to Jesus? It's not a subject we hear much said about, but the concluding verse of today's Gospel passage gives me pause. He speaks as follows, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant them justice." And then this concluding comment, "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Who is Jesus addressing this question to? You know, I think it's largely himself he's asking. I think he is, as it were, quietly pondering the subject, and as can happen, the thought comes out and is noted and recorded. Insofar as Jesus noticed how difficult it was on occasion to persuade people to behave honorably, he might at times have genuinely wondered, "What do I have to do to persuade you?" It's not only in the rank of school teachers that we might hear the exhausted rhetorical question, "How can I convince you of this?" Or, "Have you still not got the point of what I'm saying?" An inner thought caught on camera, as we say in the world of images. Jesus sighed and spoke, and it was remembered. Those who wrote it down, including the evangelist Luke, and those who have copied it, printed it, spoken it, and preached about it since over 2,000 years, have likely made the question their own. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Of course he will. But none of us disciples will be content if he finds that faith only on the other side of earth, or the other side of our own town, country village, or religious community. Will the Son of Man find faith right here in my heart, in my patch of earth, in what I spend my time doing, saying, and thinking and acting on? Will there be evidence of faith in the way I have dealt with other people, in my family and in my workplace? Insofar as the answer is yes, but perhaps not yet or not sufficiently, I'm working on it, then let us cry our hope-filled Kyrie eleison and take up the cross and walk. Where he has gone, that is our destination too. But there are no shortcuts. Like the judge in the gospel story, we are invited to grant justice and mercy to those coming seeking them. Not to dish out a certain amount of justice just to have the widow's crying finally stop. No, but out of the generosity in our hearts and minds, to do good. No, more than that, to do the best for those we live near or with. And keep a generous spot in our heart, too, for those whose names are too awkward to learn to pronounce, whose hometowns are too far from here, but whose faces are also made, like Christ's, in the image of God. Albert the Great was one of those, too, and the 15th of November is his feast day. His life was a generous one of researching and teaching to the young the fruit of his inner asking and questioning and searching. Perhaps like him, you are seeking something too. It might be that deep down you are seeking the mercy of God and the mercy of your fellow human beings. Seek, and you will find.